And so I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how the lack of discipline and structure that there is in the American family. If you look, if you look at families, you'll find out that they're structured exactly opposite from what the Bible said. The Bible said that the man is to be the boss in the home. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that, but I don't care if they like it or not. It's the truth. The man is supposed to wear the pants in the family and be the boss. The wife is to be under submission to the husband and to love her husband and to guide the home and raise the kids and make sure everything's took care of. And the children are supposed to walk the line and obey the parents. That's how it's supposed to work. But if I challenge you to go home tonight and turn on your television set, and any station, any whether it's a sitcom or a movie, you can rent a movie or whatever, and they've got the roles exactly opposite. The children are always dominant in the family, and the parents cater to what the kids want. And then the mama is really the boss, and she's really the one that's in control, and the daddy's a bumbling idiot that don't know which ends up. Now, what I tell you what they've been doing over this past generation, they've been brainwashing society to believe that's the way it's supposed to run. The daddy's supposed to be a weak, sissified, dumb idiot that don't know what's going on. The mama's supposed to be the boss, and they're both supposed to submit to the kids. Now, they've been brainwashing this generation, and it's been working. People will go buy books in the library about how to raise kids, wanting to pick up the Bible and read. The Bible tells you plainly how to structure a family. Amen? And so I want to read one verse, and then as a springboard, what I want to preach tonight, and then I'll jump right into it and preach for just a few minutes and let you go home. Proverbs number 22, verse number 6. We've heard our parents and our grandparents quote this for years and years and years. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Train up a child. Now, what I want to preach about tonight is this. How to raise a juvenile delinquent. How to raise a juvenile delinquent. Now, of course you understand that this has a note of sarcasm in it. But this, what I'm preaching to you tonight, came from a pamphlet entitled 12 Rules for Raising Delinquent Children, distributed by the Houston Police Department. That's what I'm going to preach. I'm going to take the Houston Police Department's pamphlet and make a sermon out of it and preach it to you. Ain't that something? That a preacher can take what the police department is telling people how to raise kids and you can preach it as a message? You can, because it's true. The Bible said for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It is said that what one generation allows in moderation, the next will practice in excess. I'll prove it to you. I remember when I was a kid growing up, when they talked about sodomites and homosexuals, people made fun of them and laughed about them and picked at each other about it. Now it's common, it's acceptable, right? That's another brainwashing that's been going on in our nation. But listen, I want to tell you this. In about a 30-minute period of time, 29 young people will attempt suicide. 57 young people will run away from home. 14 girls in the next 30 minutes will give birth to illegitimate babies. 22 girls will receive an abortion. 685 teenagers will take some form of narcotics. In the next 30 minutes, 188 young people will partake in strong drink. 285 children will become victims of broken homes. 288 children will be beaten or otherwise abused by their parents within a 30-minute period. They say out of 200 young people, 300 girls will be raped, 9 will be killed, and out of 200 young people, those that get married, 50% of them will experience a divorce. They say 9 will serve time in a penitentiary, 21 will get addicted to drugs, 6 will be pregnant before they're married, 6 will have an abortion, 12 will live most of their lives on antidepressants, 11 will die before they're 35 years old. That's just hard to believe. 11 will be accused of child abuse, 20 to 40 will contemplate suicide, 7 out of 10 will be raised in single parent home. This is a research that's been done across America. They say the average mother spends less than 30 minutes a day with her children. They say the average father spends less than 15 minutes a day with his kids. And people wonder what's wrong with our country. Our youth are turning to rock music, gang activity, drugs, illicit sex, and all these other things. They say suicide has increased 300% since 1950. They say the second biggest killer in young people in America
America is suicide. That's just amazing, brother. You know what I'm getting at tonight? I'm trying to tell you, you can't blame this on the school. You can't blame it on the government. The problem is in our homes in America. Listen, I was raised old-fashioned way. That's the way I raised my kids. And I've been around animals my whole life. And the one thing I've noticed about puppies and horses and mules and any animal is if you leave them and let them go, leave them to themselves, they'll be wild and crazy and do anything they want to. That's right. And that's exactly what's happening to our kids in America. Amen. You know, you see kids that are experiencing all kinds of things, and they're doing things at a young age that we didn't used to do when we was older, amen? And you see little old young girls dressed like prostitutes and got body piercings and tattoos and all that stuff. And unto the Lord, brother, why in the name of God would a parent let a kid do such a thing? But we're seeing the demoralization of the family in our nation. And brother, a lot of the problem falls upon the pulpits of America. Preachers quit preaching against certain things and preachers quit preaching for certain things. And now the families are in disarray and they're in a mess. And brother, it's simply because mamas and daddies have not trained up their children the way the Bible said. Amen. I'll give you these few things and I'll let you go. I promise I won't hold you long. I'm just going to give you these quick points and I'll move on to each one. How to raise a juvenile delinquent. Number one, begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants. If you want your child to grow up and get in trouble and end up in jail or in rehab or have illegitimate children or go from one relationship to another, give him everything he ever asked for from the time he's a baby. You'll ruin him. In this way, he'll grow up to believe the world owes him a living. Listen, young people here tonight, we got some of the best young people and teenagers I know. They love God and they sing and work for God. They're in church. But I want to tell you, listen, your rights don't include getting to go out here and abuse your body and destroy the temple that God gave you. Your right is to obey your mom and your daddy and to serve God and live for God. That is your God-given right tonight. They say, I've seen people do this. You know, if you give a kid everything he ever asked for, it ruins them. I remember watching, I got a video of these two old men breaking mules. They take mules that's so wild, you can't even catch them, they're so wild. They have to hem them up. My family's watching, it's interesting. And this old black fellow on there, he said, the one key you got to understand about these mules is don't pet them too much. He said, you will ruin them. He said, the more you pet them, the more you're going to ruin them. The more you pet them, the more stuff you're going to have to undo down the road. He said, they're not here to be petted. He said, I'm here to train them. I'm not here to be their friend. I'm here to teach them what they're here for. I said, glory to God, that works with raising kids too, brother. Amen. Make him think everything's fair, you know. You ever seen somebody have a birthday party? Little Johnny has a birthday. And so they give Johnny a birthday party. And his little brother Donnie, it ain't his birthday, but they give little Donnie a birthday present too. You're messing that kid's brain up is what you're doing. You're teaching that kid he has a right. He deserves to play center field when he can't even put a glove on the right hand. Amen, brother. Life ain't like that. You're going to raise a child that's going to go off into trouble down the road. Susanna Wesley raised 19. Well, she didn't raise 19. She had 19 kids. I think a couple of them died. But Susanna Wesley was one of the greatest models of mothers. And you just ought to go home and get on the internet and read about Susanna Wesley. I mean, I'm talking about back in the old days in the 1700s where people was poor, brother. I mean, where they had bread and water for just about and ate mush for every meal and raised all them kids and raised three great men. Two of them was John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And they turned the world upside down for God. Here's what Susanna Wesley said, subdue a self-willed child and thus work together with God to save his soul. Number one goal, get him saved. Amen. Number two, teach him to pray as soon as he can talk. Amen. I saw that little girl over there this morning. I motioned to Candace, and we was all standing here during the altar call, and I looked at Candace and went like that. That little girl, she looked like she was about 5. She had her head down at missionaries, little girl. She was praying up a storm, Miss Brenda. I don't know what she was saying. She was moving her lips. She's praying for somebody. I said, glory to God, brother. Don't teach them now to lay me down to sleep and all that stuff. Teach them how to talk to God. That'll benefit them down the road. She said, give him nothing. Number three, give him nothing he cries for. And only what's good for him if he asks politely. If he cries for it, he don't get it. That will not 90%. I was with somewhere the other day, and there's a guy had a baby up across his shoulder, and that kid was screaming bloody murder. You'd have thought he had a knife cutting her throat the way she was screaming. And all she needed was to do what my mama used to say, I'm going to strop them little legs. Amen? You remember that? Grandma used to come into church with a pocketbook in one arm and a King James Bible and a switch in the other. Amen. That's right, brother. You say, oh, you're just too old-fashioned. Well, I ain't never had to bail my kids out of jail. I ain't never had them hooked on drugs. I ain't never had to go look at them lay in a dry-out tank. I ain't never had no illegitimate grandchildren, none of that stuff. And I ain't bragging. I know they can go astray. But I'm trying to tell you, if you train them from the time they're children, that's when you train them. You don't wait till they're grown and try to break bad habits. She said, number four, to prevent lying, punish no fault, which is freely confessed. If they confess it, don't whip them. But if they don't confess it, well, you know what to do. Whip them. Number five, come in and reward good behavior. Amen. If they do good, reward them. It's simple. If they do wrong, whip them. If they do good, reward them. If they do bad, don't get them ice cream cone. Beat the snot out of them. If they do good and obey you, take them out and buy them an ice cream cone. Don't reward them for doing wrong, for God's sake. Number six, strictly observe all promises you made to your child. If you promise to do something to your kid, I don't care how much business appointment you got. Listen, I've had busy stuff too. I remember one time years ago, Candace was real little, and I promised her she got another. She's on the honor roll. She'd been on the honor roll just about her whole life. But she did something one 9-week period. I said, if you do that again, I said, I'll let you date the most handsome man that you've ever met. And she thought, she's about 14. She thought, glory to God, I'm going to get to start dating. She come home with straight A's. And I said, where do you want to go, darling? She said, you? You're my date? I said, yeah. She said, you? You're my date? And I said, yeah, your mama liked dating me. She said, yeah, but mama's old. I was just kidding. No, really, she was excited. We went to this place. We spent the whole day together. But here's my point. I had a revival coming up in another state. I really had a lot to do. Had a lot going on at my church. And I started to postpone it till I got back. But then something spoke to me in the back of my mind and said, you know what? You promised that girl. You need to drop everything and take her. And that's what I did. Are you patting yourself on the back? No. I'm just saying once in a while I happen to get it right. Once in a while I just accidentally do the right thing. Even a broke clock's right twice a day. Amen. Number two, if you want to raise a child to be a juvenile delinquent, secondly, quarrel in front of your child. In this way, he won't be shocked when his home breaks up. Ain't going to be no shouting tonight. Listen, the worst thing you can do is fuss and fight in front of your kids. If you don't agree with a punishment, don't take it up in front of your kid. Amen. If she does something you don't like, don't talk to her about it in front of him. You're just undermining your own self. You're shooting your own self in the foot. You say, honey, sweet baby darling, can I talk to you in the bedroom, honey? I want to give you some sugar when you come in the bedroom. And then, bless God, grab him by the throat and pin him against the wall, and y'all have it out. Hey, brother, your kids should never, all the aggravation and all the discord and all the disagreement and all the arguing and fighting going on in the world, the last place your kid ought to hear it and see it is in your home. Your home ought to be like a paradise for your kids. Your kids ought to be able to say, oh my God, this has been the worst day I've ever had at school. If I can just get home, I know mom and daddy's going to be all right. Mom's going to have supper. Me and daddy can play checkers, or we can play on the video game, or we can go fishing, or we can do something. That ought to be a safe haven for your kids. That's exactly why so many kids go to the street. That's exactly why kids join gangs, because there's no fellowship at home, and there's no harmony, and there's no peace. Mom and daddy raise hell from daylight to dark, and the babies can't have no peace, so they go out there hunting acceptance somewhere in the world. Don't quarrel and fuss in front of your kid. Let me just throw this in for good measure. Ladies, don't belittle your husband in front of other people. That is wicked as wicked can be. If you want to set him down in private and say, I don't like what you did. I don't think you did right. I think we need to do this. And go ahead and voice your opinion. Ain't no wrong in that. I've never fought my wife for that. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. He's the boss and he's the head of your house. Don't you tear him down in front of that child. Not only that, Daddy, but don't you belittle your wife in front of your kid. That boy will grow up and he'll think his job in life is to find some girl and mistreat her and talk to her like a dog and kick her around, and some other parent's little girl will grow up and live in misery because of your rebellion. Amen? You treat that woman like she's a queen. I'll tell you what, I might not be nothing great. My kids ain't never heard me talk disrespectful or ugly or mean to my wife or about my wife. I don't know what they'd do. They'd turn on me probably. If they heard me, if I just gave her down the road and cussed her out, they'd probably throw me out. They'd probably shoot me in my sleep. And they should. Amen. I thought y'all would shout a little bit more than this, you bunch of backslidden heathens. Number three, how to raise a juvenile delinquent. Number three, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. This way he'll think he's cute. Hey, I've seen people do that. I've seen people when they're 2 years old and 3 years old, little Johnny tells a dirty joke or he says a cuss word, they all laugh and giggle. But bless God, it ain't funny when Johnny's 12 years old or 14 years old, looks your wife in the flat face and cusses her out, and ain't nothing you can do about it because you let him go and let him go and let him go, and it's too late, and he's already got that branded in him and that lifestyle's on him. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, brother. The Bible tells us that the Bible plainly says the rod of correction will drive that sin out of him.
Yeah.
That's Travis. He knows that verse. He can quote it faster than I can.
Amen.
Sin is bound. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I'm not saying abuse kids. I love them. You should be good to them. You shouldn't just go around knocking your kids around just because you can. But listen, y'all have some order in your house. And the Bible tells us how to do it. And the Bible plainly tells us we ought to live right and do right. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You better be teaching that little kid some manners. You better be teaching that little boy, that little girl, how to say, yes, sir, no, sir. I can tell a dysfunctional family to be around a kid 10 minutes. If the kid ain't got no respect, no manners, then that tells you what kind of home they growed up in. But if they, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, open the door for the ladies, and, you know, be respectful, amen, you can tell they've been raised right. I want to tell you something, brother, you better start early, and you better start young teaching those kids. I've had people say this, preacher, it just don't work. I can't teach my kid to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. My mom, I don't remember my mom and daddy sitting me down and explaining it to me. I remember they had a stick. Daddy had a belt. It didn't take long, Brother Kevin, just once or twice. I was a little hard-headed. It took about twice for me to figure it out. I mean, I got a bunch of whippings. Don't get me wrong now. But listen, I learned respect. And I learned some manners, and it stuck with me all these years. And when you let those kids pick up those bad words and those bad habits, and you don't correct them, you're going to... It's like telling a dog, you ever, if you had any dealings with animals, if you tell a dog to sit and he don't sit, and you tell him again, sit, and you tell him again, sit, and you tell him again, sit, and finally he sits, you give him a cookie, you know what you just taught that dog? When I say sit four times, you sit. Ain't that right? If you say sit and he don't sit, you don't give him nothing. That's right, brother. And that's the same way with people. That's the same way with me and the same way with you. You say, preacher, you're off of me. No, I'm not, man. I'm telling you what this book teaches. Number four, if you want to have a juvenile delinquent on your hands, give the child all the money he wants. Never let him earn his own. He is too good to work. That is one four-letter word. It's a bad word to American kids. Work. I want to tell you how those sodomites turned out to be sodomites. Let me tell you how. Over in your Bible, you read it when you get home, Ezekiel 16:48, he said, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. They had everything you could ever want. They was idle, didn't have nothing to do. They didn't need to work. They had all kinds of stuff. There wasn't no purpose to work. And they was idle. My mom used to say, idle mind's a devil's workshop. You leave a bunch of kids loose, you see a bunch of people ganged up on the side of the road all day long, and trouble's going to happen, I guarantee you. That's why we had to run some out of our parking lot every night. Because out here, 2 or 3 hours every night, 8 or 10 guys out here and a couple of girls just hanging around. You know what that is? That idleness is going to lead to trouble. Amen? You better find something to do. Every young boy, every preteen young man should know how to mow grass, should know how to use a weed eater, should know how to check the oil in the car or change a flat for mama. They ought to know how to clean a fish. They ought to know how to put a worm on a hook. They ought to know how to cut a squirrel open and skin him. Amen? Every young boy ought to know that. Every young boy ought to be normal to get dirt under their fingernails and crawl up under the truck with daddy. Hey, brother, you ought to teach them kids those things. If you don't, you're going to have one of these one of these days. You're going to raise a prissy sissy. Amen? You're going to have a daughter-in-law. You're going to have a son-in-law and a son. I'm telling you, that's exactly what happened to Sodom. The Bible said they had fullness of bread and idleness, had too much time on their hands, had all that money and all that wealth and abundance. Brother, people need to work for what they have. It's not good. It's not good to give a, even if you can afford it, it ain't good to give a teenager. I know you kids won't agree with this. Ashley won't agree and Candace won't either. It's not good to give a 15-year-old girl a $30,000 Mustang. It just ain't good for them. Y'all might think it's good for you, but it ain't, is it, Brother Heath? It ain't good. It ain't normal. You know why? Because they grow up thinking, all I got to do is ask for it. I want $1 million. All I got to do is ask for it. That's not good for them. You're ruining that child. They need to learn this. If they drive a $35,000 Mustang, they need to get it the right way. And so I'll tell you one thing. I might drive a $30,000 Mustang, but you see these hands, I've worked for it, brother. I mean, I've washed dishes, and I've flipped hamburgers, and I've went to college, and I've paid for that car. It's mine. I own it. You teach that kid something. That's character. Every girl ought to know how to cook. Ain't it amazing little girls nowadays don't know how to make a biscuit? Miss Brenda, if girls had you know how to make biscuits like you do, they wouldn't have a hard time finding a boyfriend. Just start cooking for him. Amen? They'll know how to cook, how to wash dishes, how to tend to a baby, how to iron, how to do laundry, how to fold the clothes. Hey, I believe young girls now ought to have to carry clothes out on the clothesline and hang them up. And if it rains, have to run out there and grab them real quick like we used to do in the old days. I mean, brother, we used to have to work. We used to have to carry our wood and coal and all that stuff. Daddy'd make us go out there and get it. I remember going out there, Brother Jeff. You remember getting wood out of the yard? I remember it'd be snow, and you'd have to dig down under the snow to get that coal and that stuff nasty and wet and that old coal. I mean, you look half black when you got back in the house. Amen. You know what Daddy'd say? Put it over in that wood box, boy. He'd say, oh, boy, it's a wood heart. Him got dirty. Does that all happen to you? You didn't get hurt. You ain't bleeding. You didn't lose no fingers. Shut up and go to bed. Amen? Hey, brother, we're raising kids with a mentality. All you got to do is ask for it, and I'll give it to you. And that's ruining them. It's not good for their character. Number five, never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 16 and then let him decide for himself. Now, people call us hypocrites, but I want to say most people that raise their kids the way I'm preaching tonight are hypocrites. Because you say that you're going to let your kids decide for themselves whether they want to go to church or not. All right, let them decide that tomorrow morning when it's time to go to school. You hypocrite. I mean, if they don't want to go to school, why are you making them? Why? Why? You're a hate monger? I mean, let him decide. If he don't want to get up and brush his teeth and take a bath and go to school, let him lay there. And I know some people do that too. But I'm just saying it's a hypocrite that lets their kids decide about spiritual things and make them do other things. You ought to make your child go to church. I had a drug problem when I was a kid. They drug me to church. They drug me to camp meeting. Drug me to revival. Drug me to Bible school. They didn't give me no choice. Anyway, now, Ronnie, son, today's Sunday. What do you want to do, baby? Do you want to go to school? No, you want to go to church? No. Daddy jerked him covers off, and the next thing was a belt. Boy, we come tearing out of there. Getting your clothes on. We're going to church. It ain't going to open our mouth. Amen. 9 out of 10 temptations will happen when you're alone. Amen. If you never give me spiritual training, you're going to have trouble like you never imagined. What will happen is, like, remember Dale Burrell was here, and he said it's against the law to teach them the Bible in a public school, but when they go to prison, what's the first thing they give them? King James Bible. Even politics, even the municipalities, they know that it's a problem, and they know where the problem lies, and they know it's a spiritual problem, and they know that the Bible is the only hope they really got, but they wait till it's too late to try to give it to them. Amen. Ought to give it to them in preschool. Number six, satisfy his ever craving for food, drink, and comfort. See that his ever sensual desires gratified. You're creating a monster. Mama, I'm thirsty. I've seen half-grown kids. Mama, I'm thirsty. Really? Well, I'll be. And Mama jump up. Mama be laying there sick with a headache and with her foot in a cast. And Junior say, Mama, I'm thirsty. And Mama get up and go run. And Junior ain't 14. Amen. Do it yourself. Amen. You satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort, and you're going to create a monster. Whenever he goes out or she goes out and gets married, they're going to expect their spouse to do that. And real life don't work that way, does it? They're going to get on the job and expect somebody on the job to do that. It don't work that way. I'm going to move on quickly. Number seven, avoid the use of the word wrong. He may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later when he's arrested that society is against him and he's being persecuted. Amen? You better learn to teach them young'uns right from wrong. You better learn to do this and say, hey, son, that's wrong. You can't do it. That's why. When they say why, first answer is, what your mom and dad told you? Because I said so. That's what my mom always said. We didn't ask why too many times. You can't go. Why? Because I said so. Case closed. Well, everybody else is getting to go. So what? I ain't their mama. I ain't their daddy. I don't care if the whole world goes. You ain't going. Be like that one guy, young preacher said when he's little, that everybody went swimming, got to swimming hole, and he begged his mama to let him go, and he was the only one out of the neighborhood that didn't get to go. And they went down there and went swimming, and it had been raining, and the banks were up, and the river was up, and there's some kind of undercurrent, and there's about six or eight of them kids drowned that day. And that little boy could have been one of them, but his mom made him stay home. Here's what I'm trying to say to the young people. Your mom and daddy ain't near as dumb as you think. They've been exactly where you're at right now. And they used to be just as hip and cool and nice looking as you think you are. Yeah. Amen. We didn't used to always be old and bald headed. Come on, people, help me out here. Amen. Number eight, let him read any printed material, listen to any music he can get his hands on. Amen. That's how you create a juvenile delinquent. Be careful that the silverware and the drinking glasses are sterilized, but let his mind feast on garbage. I never have let my kids listen to certain things. You do what you want to. I don't let them watch them R-rated movies. I don't let them watch them movies where they're gutting people and cutting their heads off, all that junk. I never let them listen to rock music and all that stuff. And rap music, the C on the front, silent, you know. I never listen to them listen to that junk. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know why anybody'd like that anyway. That ain't got a tune to it. But listen, you have to decide. That's what you're here for. God put that girl, that boy in your home for you to make those decisions, not them. Number nine, pick up everything he leaves lying around. Do everything for him so he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility to somebody else. My daddy used to talk about that all the time. You didn't learn some responsibility. I said, what are you talking about? I didn't know what that was, just a big old word. I remember begging for a pony when I was little. Every kid in the world does that. But my daddy went through with it and got me one. I don't know why, because daddy just wasn't like it about buying presents. But he got me a pony. Well, about 3 or 4 months later, he got me another one. Two of them. And after the new wore off, he said, I dare you to let me catch them not with water down there in the barrel. Amen. Or not to be any feed. And I'll tell you what, son, I kept them horses forever. I think I'm still feeding them in my sleep. Don't even have them no more. But you know what it taught me? It taught me, hey, if you want anything else, you take care of the ones you got. And I learned, it's just like I was talking about cars a while ago. Well, I remember when I was a teenager, I got me a car. And the first one I got, I totaled it before I ever got my license. You know, just tore it all to pieces. Then the second one I got, I took a little bit better care of it. But it didn't have any power, so I'd power brake it, Brother Jeff. I'd back it down and yank it down low gear and spin the tire. Boy, the girls are just so impressed. I don't even know where them girls are at now. They just let me burn the rubber off my tires without stopping me. I mean, I just sat there and just burned rubber, just smoke, just bowling. I mean, that car didn't have enough power to yank a hat off your head hardly. But it's just how I was doing it. But that was fun there for a while, a couple months, you know. And I thought everybody was impressed with it. But finally, them tires got slick as my head. Slick, brother. And I had to go buy some. I'll tell you what, Brother Ronnie quit power breaking that car and backing it down. Burned the wheels off of it, Wilcox. I said, no! Because I was paying for it. It's coming out of my pocket. So listen, when you pick up everything he leaves laying around, you're creating somebody that's going to expect somebody to do it for him, and they're not going to. Responsibility. Number 10, when he gets into trouble, apologize to yourself. Say stuff like, I could never do anything with him. Sure you can. You can do plenty with him. You can do it when they're little. When they get big, they ain't hard to control. You don't wait till a horse gets full grown, he's 1,200 pounds, and then start trying to break him when he's 5, 6 years old. You do it when he's a colt, and you get control. That's why the Bible said train him. Train him. You know what people's problems are? Well, I want to be my daughter's best friend. God didn't put your daughter in your family to be your best friend. You need to get over that. You need to forget all about that. Listen, your job is to be her mama and to be her daddy. Man, it's not your job to be your son's best friend. It's your job to be his daddy and to guide him. The Bible said, son, observe my way. Walk in my footsteps. Listen, your kid ought to do right because you do right. Amen. And now, if you're a good parent and you train them right and you raise them right, and then if you're their best friend after that, that's just an extra bonus. Sometimes it works out that way. But if you're not their best friend, that's okay too. I didn't raise my kids just so I'd have a friend, Brother Heath. That ain't the way it works. If I want a friend, I'll go find me a friend. These are my kids. I want to raise them to be men and women and to be good citizens and be good Christians. I don't want to raise them just to be my best friend. I can go pick up a friend anywhere. If I had a couple hundred dollars, I'd flash that around and have friends just like that. Amen? Number 11, take his part against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. They're all prejudiced against your child. That way he'll grow up and blame society and he'll have no respect for authority. Be a parent. Be a parent. Amen? Here's what my daddy's philosophy was when I was growing up. My daddy had a funny way of looking at things. But if we got into trouble, whatever they say you did, you did it. I'm serious. I had two brothers, two sisters. My two sisters never did anything wrong. But me and my two brothers did enough for all of us, especially me and my brother next to me. And if two of us got in a fight, daddy'd whip all three of us. That's his philosophy. That's the way they did it back then. I don't know if I agree with that or not, because sometimes maybe you wouldn't even be there. Either way, you got home, whip all three of you. Crazy, man. But I tell you what, it didn't raise me to think. And listen, when you take sides with your child against her, here's what puzzles me about people. Here's what puzzles me. And I've been pastor for a good while. I've seen this in churches. I've had trouble with people in churches, and they think their kid never does any wrong. I can't understand that. Amen. I've had people in my church I've had trouble with because of their kids were so mean and so disrespectful. And I've had to call them down while I'm preaching. And I've had them getting fights out in the parking lot. And you confront the parents and set them down and say, this is what he did. No, he didn't do that. And you got 100 people there that saw it happen. Amen. There's a boy and girl at school where my wife teaches the teenage kids. They got caught kissing. And you know, that's against the rules in a Christian school. It ought to be against the rule anywhere. And they were so dumb, they took a picture of it. Now, that ain't the stupidest part. They brought the picture to school and then left it laying on their desk. Debbie found it, took them to the office. That's grounds for expulsion. Kick them out of school. You know what them parents said? You ain't going to believe this. Uh-uh. My son wouldn't do that. We got his picture here. That's him, ain't it? That's him sucking face with that girl, ain't it? Yeah, but he wouldn't do something like that. Are you still looking at this picture? Ask her if I'm telling the truth. That's how crazy people are. Do you realize that your child was born in sin just like you was? Do you honestly think your kid's 16 or 70? You remember what you was like when you was a teenager? Have you forgot? Brother Sam, you remember what you was like a teenager? I remember it vividly, and that's what scares me. That's why I keep an eye on them. That's why I believe in chaperones and watch them like a hawk, because I remember what a reprobate I was, and I was the pastor's kid. Amen. Probably the pastor's kids is the reason they're so mean. They hung around the deacon's kids. Ashley and Candace, there you go. I'm going to close. Number 12, never punish him. It might damage his psyche. Might cause him to be violent. If you do spank him, be sure and pet him. I don't ever remember my mama whipping me and then coming in and petting me and loving me and rocking me and, you know, putting me in a rocking chair. And matter of fact, when daddy whipped me, mama wouldn't pet me either. Did Miss Brenda pet y'all after daddy whipped you? I didn't go near mama. I was scared to because I was afraid she'd whip me too. I'd go in there with my lip pooched out. Get back in yonder. Didn't your dad just whip you? Get back in yonder. Shut up. And if you cried a certain length of time, what would they say? You had long enough? Dry it up. What else would they say? I'll give you something to cry about. Wouldn't it? If you want to cry, I'll give you something. Hey, I was almost grown before I realized the belt was to hold your pants up. I thought that was just where you kept your belt till your kids got out of line. Somebody gave me a belt for Christmas. I'm about 10 years old. I don't need a belt. I ain't got no kids. What's up with that? Amen. Daddy yanked that thing off and whoop us. They wouldn't pet us. Now, I want to say last of all, if you do all these things I mentioned, prepare for a life of grief because you'll likely have it. Amen? How to raise a juvenile delinquent. I'm afraid today that we're witnessing something that our previous generations have never seen. Ronnie, come on the piano if you will. I was telling, now I know that probably right now tonight here in this congregation tonight, I'm sure that there's probably none of us has these kind of problems. Most of the people I know here tonight's got good families, children, respectful, and raising them right in church and all that. You'd be amazed at the Christian people I was around. I won't say who. It's not somebody here, but a lady not long ago goes to a good Bible-believing Baptist church, and her little boy's about 10 years old or 12. Just looked her right in the face and just sassed her just like she wasn't nothing. Here's my point. The point is there's a problem at home. You can rally all across America about putting prayer back to school, but that ain't going to help the problem. The problem's at the home. Amen. The problem's in the churches, and the problem's in the home. Now, I agree the Bible should be put back in the school, but what good's that going to do? Amen. Mom and Dad don't read it at home. Mom and Dad's too busy looking at a computer and a television to spend any time with the kids and to train them kids right. And so the kids, they're going to turn out warped no matter what you do. We got to start at the foundation to build something. When you build any Any kind of building, you got to start at the foundation and build it. You don't start at the roof, you start at the foundation. And that's the problem. The foundation of the home is where we need to start in building. That's where you see good churches. Good churches are made up of good families. Amen. Communities are made up out of good churches and good families. Amen. And this is the way you do it. You say, I don't believe in all that junk. You take two men, let one raise his the conservative Bible way, the way I've been preaching. Let another man just let his go and just make up his own rules. Come back 20 years and tell me what happened.